Welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, a conversation on how you can achieve retirement security, financial freedom, and the new American dream through rental property investments. And here's your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse.
Welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, where we talk all things real estate investing and particularly single family rental property investment strategies. I'm your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse. We're one of the nation's largest single family rental property managers, helping our clients achieve financial freedom through real estate. So today's episode is part of a new series that we're calling Corner to Corner, where we're having conversations with talented leaders from the Renters Warehouse business across the country and diving into specific characteristics about their particular market, what makes it unique, local market trends, and other investment tips for investors. So I'm excited today to have Todd Brown with me. Todd is our market leader for our Texas market. We work specifically in Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, as well as Houston. So we're going to talk about Texas today. And Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for this conversation. I'm excited for this series. We obviously believe a lot in single family rental investing and how it can help people, you know, achieve their financial goals over the long term. We wrote a book about it, The Rent Estate Revolution. So if people haven't read that, you can check that out. And we talk a lot about general tips on real estate investing and how to use it to secure your financial future for generations to come. But in this series, we want to talk more locally and more specific about different markets across the country. We're going to be bringing on market leaders and folks in Todd's position from across the country, across our markets at Renters Warehouse to talk specifically about their markets. And so today is Texas. But Todd, before we jump in and talk about Texas, why don't you tell us and the listeners just a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Thanks, Kevin. There's a saying here in Texas that I wasn't born here, but I got here as quick as I could. And so I could tell you my career started out in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is home. It will always be home, but this is my future home. Love it in Texas. My career kind of started out. I've been very fortunate to have been a part of some really good organizations. First 15 years of my career was in medical sales. I called on local hospitals in multiple states, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, Texas. I carried the bag as a salesperson for about 7 years. Very, very fast paced, very hard closing, very month to month, as good as you were the last month, but a very lucrative career. It did my family well and enabled us to do some things that we were very fortunate. The last 7 years of that career, I was a regional manager for a group of individuals of about 15 to 20. They like to call my territory the Louisiana Purchase because I think I had 2/3 of the country and just about 1/3 of the sales force. So that's what you get for living in the Midwest. But
right.
I wouldn't change that for anything. So really, really enjoyed my time. Got my kids raised and out of the house and in college, and quite frankly, we're just tired of getting on a plane every Monday and returning on Friday and just running around with your pants on fire. So I went to my wife and I said, I'm looking at making a career change. She liked to have had a heart attack and asked me why. And I said, well, I want to do something that's rewarding to me. This job has been very rewarding to us as a family. I want something I can wake up every day and enjoy going to work and, you know, makes people happy, you know, a rewarding process. I mean, buying a home is one of the largest investments that you'll ever have. And I said, I'm thinking about getting into real estate. Make a long story short, and that story could go on for a long time, but to make a long story short, she allowed me to do that. And when I said allow, that was the word. And for the last 15 years, I've been in the real estate market. It's been rewarding. It's always good to see people, individuals, and families that that you're doing something that's good that might affect the rest of their lives. So I've been in it for about the last 15 years. And surprisingly enough, I don't know if it's a surprise, but the last 6 years here with Reuters Warehouse, I swear, with the synopsis of my career there, I also kind of gave away my age. So,
well, you don't look old enough to have that long of a track record, but and it is surprising.
I've kind of been with us for 6 years. If I should have went down that road, but been 6 years here in March with Reuters Warehouse. I started out in the Oklahoma City market, which is a fantastic market. There's still a lot of value in that market, and moved here in March 4 years ago.
That's right. Yeah. You know, it has been 6 years. It doesn't seem like 6 years. Time flies when you're having fun and doing important work, as you mentioned. So medical sales was the beginning of your career, and you mentioned you wanted to get into real estate. Were you involved at all in real estate in your medical sales career? Did you own investments, reinvesting, or what was the interest? Why real estate?
No, not really. I had a really good friend that had had ventured out as well, and he opened up a brokerage. And when we got together, he was always recruiting me, saying, you know, bring some of the education and the training and that knowledge that you've experienced in the medical field and the sales part of it. You could be, that would be a fantastic segue into the real estate. He just kept on me, and I kept seeing him succeed in different levels. And, you know, the joy he was getting and the freedom that he was getting, you know, with being in that profession and, you know, building his own business. I think that may have been the most thing was, you know, when you're in real estate, it's almost like your business. Mm-hmm. And you're building that business and you're building it for you and your family. I take nothing away from the corporate world. It's been fantastic for me my entire life. But in real estate, you know, I always tell new agents when they come into this business, they ask me how much money they can make or how successful they can be. And I said, it clearly depends on you and the amount of effort that you put into it. If you put the right amount of effort to it, the sky is the limit. So that's what really got me into the industry. I mean, that unlimited earning potential has something that's always pretty much driven me. So
that's great. Very, very unique background and great background. And I didn't even know all of that. So that was fun to hear. And we're certainly glad you've been a part of our team here for the last 6 years or so. And you've been in Texas for almost four of those years. And so let's talk about Texas. You specifically work in Dallas, Austin, in San Antonio, which I'm sure there's a lot of differences about those. Maybe we can start Texas broadly. What do you think is unique about Texas from a real estate investing standpoint? Where do you think the opportunities lie for real estate investors in Texas?
You know, I keep going into these sayings, but you know, they always say everything's bigger in Texas. And gosh, it's amazing. You know, Texas has the second largest GDP in the country. That equates to being in the top 10 worldwide. And so what does that tell me? And what does that tell investors that are looking to come here is that we have resources. The other thing about Texas is we're not landlocked by anything. Mm-hmm. We have so much more available land, and that's almost crazy. You know, you look at some cities, you either got a coast on the east or the west, or you got mountains in Denver or Salt Lake City, or you've got, rivers and bay. We're not landlocked by anything, and we still got plenty more of it. And they're obviously not making any more of it. So that's a real unique feature of Texas. The other thing I think that you not necessarily see in the Texas market, but you see Midwest is, we're able to handle these trends, these spikes. Mm-hmm. You know, and these spikes might be really short term, which can be really crucial to some investors because they don't have the capability of you know, lasting these spikes out. Whereas you might see some spikes like this on the East Coast or in certain metropolitans across the country, but we're more at an increased level and we, it's a steady, and you don't see any major losses. Now, you may see some dips and turns, but like the stock market, if you look at the stock market over the last 50 to 100 years, it's like this, you know, it's not jagged. Right. So you see that in Texas. You know, based upon the airport numbers, we have 1,500 people a day coming in as new residents from other states that are legally documented. That's amazing. I mean, we've consistently been the highest population growth rate in the country. So that tells me as an investor, these people need places to make a resident.
Right. That's a really good point. You know, whenever I'm out talking with investment groups or talking with new investors or our clients, you know, investing and buying where the population's going, right? Follow the migration patterns. Ensure you're investing in a market that has increasing population.
Right.
You know, there's some cities out there that has decreasing population because jobs and industry are maybe leaving that particular state or that particular city. Very much the opposite Texas, right? You just talked about a 1,500 people a day moving to Texas. They need a place to live. They need a place to work. And as a real estate investor, you can be a part of that equation and that puzzle. And so, you know, we also talk a lot about industry and jobs and employment being something to look at for real estate investors, right? Do you have a stable employment base and a diverse employment base? And, you know, I know a little bit about Texas, but I don't know as much as you about Texas. So where are all these people who are coming in? Where are they working? What kind of industry is growing there? I know there's a lot of talk about Austin.
Right.
Tech companies moving to Austin. But besides, you know, that unique situation there in Austin, what else is, you know, kind of the up and coming or continue to be growing industries, you know, with those good paying jobs that are attracting all these folks?
Well, there's a reason that Tesla, Toyota, Hewlett Packard, Charles Schwab, Oracle, and here more recently, which is really cool to me, is PGA National. Just moved their headquarters to here, about 5 miles from my house. There's a reason that they're doing this. And a lot of it has to do with the talent pool that we have in employment. You know, we talked about the 1,500 people a day coming in. We also got an 82% retention rate of people not leaving the state when they enter the workforce. That's crazy. So when they're coming into these, you know, where are they working? Well, first and foremost, it has and it always will be, energy is key here. Okay. We've got $172 billion segment of energy right here in Texas, which is a third of the entire energy in the country. So that's always going to be key. You know, that's compromised of oil, gas, coal, and even wind. So there's a couple of basins here in Texas that would supply the country with energy for the next 150 years.
Wow.
Right here in Texas.
Wow.
So that is energy is key. Now, that being said, all the big talk, and you kind of alluded to it, is the technology industry. A lot of your headquarters out of Silicon Valley are moving to Texas. And there's some things, you know, there's tax benefits as a corporation, there's land where they can put their properties. All those are involved. But Austin is becoming, you know, the next Silicon Valley, and it's not slowing down, and it only seems to be increasing. Some of the other things that you might be not aware of is, we're the largest manufacturer of semiconductor circuits. So, you know, you look at the aerospace manufacturing and the semiconductor manufacturing, that's the second largest manufacturing workforce in the entire country. Mm. So you take energy, you take high tech, you take the circuit business, in manufacturing, which, you know, you get all levels of employment there,
right?
You know, from manufacturing all the way up to, you know, C-level in these organizations. So I think one big positive boon for that is there's also a big talent pool here. So those three major industries are getting a huge amount of talent pool in terms of employers. So the business here, we grew at about this last quarter in 2023, the GDP grew by almost 8%.
Wow.
And you can look at the numbers, and that's far and above most, if not all, states that we're competing against.
Well, that's great. Very diverse industry base, and some very important ones. You mentioned energy, semiconductors, right? A big push right now to insource more chip manufacturing, right, away from international different countries and China and whatnot, and bring that back internally. I imagine that's going to bode well for
absolutely
for that industry in Texas, which gives us a nice runway as real estate investors to continue that inbound migration into Texas and create great jobs and opportunity for people who need a place to live. So with all these people coming into Texas, whether it's Dallas or Austin, San Antonio, Houston, all the places they're going, what's that been doing for, you know, housing? Talk housing prices, if you're going to buy a house to live in. More importantly, maybe for this show, what's happened with rent prices, supply and demand dynamics? You know, what's that picture look like today?
Well, we've, again, been very fortunate. You know, a number of markets around the country are going through a supply, you know, a vast reduction in the supply of homes they have available.
Sure.
You know, the new numbers come out from, well, not new, but the past numbers of 23, you know, just come out through the NRA, the National Realtors Association. And there was more new construction permits in Texas than any other state. So it's just crazy. I mean, you drive around and you're like, oh my God, what are they going to put? They start leveling ground out and you go, I wonder what they're going to put there. Well, next thing you know, they've got a, you know, a real estate sign up and they're, it really is amazing. And it's something that you don't see over a year's time. You see over months, you know, over weeks, things change so quickly.
Right.
So, we did have a spike, you know, in 2000, you know, we come off the COVID era, and there was a spike in home prices, as I think you noticed around the country. Ours hasn't seemed to take a big of dive as a lot of areas. A lot of that has to do with resources and be able, you know, mortgage rates and interest rates, then, you know, all those different that factor into it. But overall, we kept an average home price anywhere from $320,000 to $345,000 last year, and that's the entire state of Texas. You know, there's over 8 million single family residences in Texas.
Wow, that's a lot.
When I saw that number, it's just mind boggling. So, you know, you're looking anywhere from 320 to 350, which there's still value in Texas. I mean, there really is. Now, I came from Oklahoma, and I thought it was the worst thing I'd ever seen. But you take the value in Texas and you compare it to some other markets, there's still value here. And that's the main thing that I want investors coming to Texas to know is, guys, we're on the, you know, I just put out I just told you a bunch of numbers, and we're first this, we're last this, these numbers, but bottom line is you can still afford to buy property here and make money investing in it. And that can't be said in a lot of areas. So,
yeah, that's unique, right? Right now, for the past 12 to 18 months, the challenge has been home prices are up significantly in many areas, but more importantly, interest rates for that mortgage are up significantly across the country, up 70%. And, you know, that makes your payments very, very different. And in many markets, rent hasn't really caught up with some of those numbers yet. And it makes deals harder to pencil, right? One of the advantages of owning real estate for an investor is the fact that you can leverage your money. You don't have to pay all cash. It's one of the greatest benefits of investing in real estate is the fact you can use other people's money and have someone else that's paying your rent pay your mortgage for you, right? And make your money go further in buying investments. And while it's a really great piece of the puzzle, and it remains a great piece of the puzzle, it makes it a little bit more challenging today in many markets, right? And so you're saying in Texas that that still works in many homes. It still pencils out that $320,000, $350,000 home. You can still achieve a monthly rent that's going to cover your expenses.
Our average rent finishing in 2023 was right at $2,100.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet you if you ask some people out on in California, you know, if they enjoy living in a 4-bedroom, 2-bath with a yard and 2-car garage at $2,100, they would probably say, what have you already been drinking this morning? But and I compared that, Kevin, to our numbers here at Renters Warehouse, and it pretty much coincided. That number was directly from the National Realtors Association over the past year. So I went back and kind of compared it to Renters Warehouse. You know, we're in markets in Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Fort Worth, and Dallas. And it generally, that number works. So
that is unique right now. You know, there's always deals to be found in any market. I think that's important. A lot of people are discouraged right now of, you know, can I go out and make a deal work? And, you know, if you look at the national numbers, the percent of purchases that are investment properties or homes bought as investment properties, it's down. But that's really because the national players, the larger institutional funds are still waiting on the sidelines for something to happen, right? Housing prices adjust, rents catch up, interest rate changes. But there's still a lot of activity. And it's smaller retail or mom and pop investors, those who own 1, 5, 10, 15 homes, that are out there finding the deals because they can really take the time to sift through, you know, and find and make those work. It sounds easier in Texas, which is great. So if we had a real estate investor, whether they're brand new investor or perhaps they own homes in other markets across the country and they're hearing this and saying, well, this sounds interesting in Texas, got great demographic trends and great long-term outlook and, you know, steady home price appreciation and all of the advantages that we've been talking about with Texas. You know, what would be the advice you'd give them? You know, what type of house they should be targeting, right? You know, number of beds, baths, size, maybe particular cities or neighborhoods within a city that are seeing particular demand where they can feel really confident that they buy this property, they're going to get a great tenant, hopefully stay in there for, you know, for quite a while and have things run steady Eddie, as we like. You know, what's that advice to that real estate investor coming in?
Well, with all the good things that are happening in Texas, there's also we're very diverse in terms of the type of properties we have. You know, we have your huge metropolitan areas, but just on the outskirts of these large metropolitans are pockets. So I can handle an investor that wants that one or two units. I can handle that local investor wants maybe more than that. The thing you're going to find here in this area is it's not only those, but we've got your local investors, your regional investors, your national investors, and even your international investors. So, you know, when I start talking to new investors or investors that's been here a while, is I always tell them, have a number, have a plan, have it in, you know, too many people are watching TV and think they could do this overnight, you know, with all the TV shows, flip and turn, you know, this and that. And everybody wants to do it. But to compete here, you need a plan. You need a number because there are people doing their homework and it's very vast. Now, that being said, you know, the king is four to three bedrooms, 2+ baths. I mean, that always will be. And I think you can probably see that across most of the markets that we're in, or if not every market. What I am seeing is some of those pockets just outside the metro. I'm also seeing a huge push for build to rent here. You know, we talked a little bit about the land, and we talked a little bit about the building permits that we're getting on a monthly, quarterly, and yearly basis. You know, we have, if not the largest, one of the largest home builders in the country, D.R. Horton, based right out of Fort Worth. These guys are putting up a half a dozen communities around all rental. Now, these guys don't make decisions in the home industry without kind of knowing what they're doing.
Sure.
So that tells me that if they're investing in a lot of the build to rent, there's something there.
Right.
Okay. I've seen, you know, I've seen you on multiple podcasts and talking about it multiple times, you know, with the build to rent, you know, you've got a new home, which leads to less maintenance, less expenses. They're generally in, some are in HOA communities. But a lot of them are in these pockets outside the metro where the lease pricing is getting so high that it's hard to turn a profit on.
Mm-hmm.
So with the value that you're able to get, you know, be it in Texas or wherever it might be, but the value you are able to get here, you're still able to sustain some pretty nice profit. And so I do see a big push in that. You know, we always have the like I said, the 4-3-2 layouts. But two, we're getting that interurban push. If an investor wants to go to more high-end leases, you're getting these townhomes that are, I mean, super nice. And people are, you know, leasing these at premium rates. And every interurban city is, I think we've done a fantastic job in just really making some particular areas nice to live in with entertainment, with availability of housing. So, you know, I know that's kind of a broad description of the type of homes, but they're all there. And that's kind of the push I'm seeing is in those three areas.
Yeah, they're all there in Texas. And it sounds like there's demand from tenants,
yes,
and residents for all those different types of properties, which I think brings you back to your first point you made when we started talking about your conversation with a new investor moving to Texas is have a plan and have a number. And I think that's so important, right? Know what you are trying to achieve, whether that's short term or long term. And that obviously helps you narrow down, you know, what types of properties, right, you might be looking for. Cause it sounds like get outside the metro area a little bit into some, maybe not called the outskirts, but secondly, you know, a second or third ring suburb, whereas some of these newer communities are growing up, a lot of build for rent,
yes,
opportunity,
absolutely,
there for an investor, which I think is a really unique opportunity that a lot of, you know, smaller and retail investors haven't gotten into as big as some of the more regional and national investors and landlords buying up some of those communities or homes inside of the community. So that's a very unique opportunity. See a lot of that in Texas, it sounds like. And those, you know, further out communities that are being built, you know, is there still, you know, significant demand to be renting houses in those areas? A lot of, I think the fear of people, especially when they don't know an area, is, okay, I'm looking at this newer community. It's a little bit further out than maybe some other houses I own or some other properties I'm looking at. You know, is there really going to be the demand to keep the unit full?
That might be the most mind-boggling thing that I've seen since I've been here. Like I said, I've been here a little over 4 years. And coming from Oklahoma, I you know, didn't want to move to the big city in inner Dallas, you know.
Sure.
I just didn't know, and B, I'll just be flat out truthful, I was scared, you know. I'm not used to it, didn't know how I would you know, acclimate myself to it. So we moved into a far north Dallas suburb called McKinney, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, shoot, Kevin, 10 years ago, this was a farm town. I mean, you know, it was 150,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a farm town for me coming from Oklahoma.
Right, right.
It was still a very small town in,
yeah,
Texas, and it was perfect. You know, we're on the outskirts. There's still a lot of land. you see horses, you see cows, you see things that you don't see in major cities. I thought, this is perfect. I can tell you now, we're at about 500,000.
Wow. In 10 years.
It just keep moving north and north and north. I don't know how much you know about the geographics of Texas or Dallas in particular, but over the years, you've heard of Dallas, then you hear of Plano, then you hear of Frisco, then you hear McKinney. Now it's Prosper. Now it's Salina. And that's just moving one way. You know, that's just going north. And that's not mentioning east, west, or south. So I don't know where these people are coming from, but it just amazes me to drive out. And then you go north from my residence, and there's just fields, and there's levelers everywhere. There's, they're just leveling land and putting in sewer lines. And it's, I don't know, but to answer your question, it hasn't stopped in about the last 25 years. So what makes me think it's going to?
Yeah.
If we keep seeing the growth in terms of employment and companies moving here and people moving here from out of state, then it's not slowing down. And I said 25 years, it's been doing that for the last 50 years or longer. So,
well, you study history, generally gives you a good idea of where things might be going in the future.
Absolutely.
So that's a good piece. Well, this has been just a very interesting conversation, Todd. Thanks for coming on and talking about Texas and Dallas and all these places. And I think, to sum it up, right? Lots of inbound migration of people moving to Texas. They're going to need a place to live. A lot of great industry, diverse job base, not relying on one particular industry to keep, people employed and having a great livelihood. And interestingly enough, a lot of land, which means a lot of homes going up to fill the need of people that are coming on, but still can be affordable and can be a place where you can purchase a home, even a new home today, and be able to rent it out, cover those expenses, and create a good long-term investment for yourself. So Texas is definitely a place I think investors should be looking. If someone is interested in reaching out, how do they reach you? And how does you and your team help someone who maybe doesn't own any property today put that plan together that you said is so important, educate them about the area and help them?
Well, as always, anyone can reach us through our national website. Like I said, I am the market leader for the Dallas-Fort Worth and the San Antonio, Austin area. It kind of goes back to that. We were talking about having a plan, having a number. I think we do a really good job here at Renters Warehouse in taking the investor and putting them in situations or putting them in properties that fits their plan. And in order to do that, we need to be able to sit down and go over that plan with you.
Sure.
And if we have a good knowledge of what your plan is, not only in the immediate future, but in the long term, I think we're able to better, work through what kind of goals you've set to help you get there. We've got a number of agents. I think our specialty has been, we're still a hands-on approach. There's a lot of online companies, there's a lot on that you can't put a face with the voice. We still do still do most of our own personal showings. We still go out and visit, investors. I've always been, dating back from day one, is I'm best when I'm in front of a client, be it whatever industry is. You can read that client better. You can, understand them, and more importantly, develop a relationship to where let's all face it, I've been doing sales a long time, and people buy or invest in someone they trust and like. And, if we're not getting in front of these customers. So let us sit down with you, go over what your goals are. We're in this for the short term and the long term. If we're developing client bases, we can be a client forever, and we can lease your home. We can buy more homes. We are, you know, like, you know, a full circle, full service brokerage. And I think that's what a lot of times people don't understand. You know, Renters Warehouse, what are they concentrating on? Well, I think it's important that our investors, be it old and new, that, you know, we're not only leasing your property and managing it. We have the capabilities of going out and find new properties. We have the capability of being to diverse your portfolio in terms of selling it. I can't tell you the number of homeowners that have came to me and they said, hey, I'm looking to A, get out. I can't handle it anymore. Mm-hmm. Or B, you know, I've got a couple of properties that doesn't fit my portfolio. I'd like to diversify and take those out and maybe go buy another one that fits more what my portfolio is doing or the type of return that I'm looking for. There's guys that are just getting in and we can buy. So there's a number of things that I think that we're looking at improving here in the Texas market. And that's a full service brokerage. I would welcome to reach out to me. My email is T Brown, as in Todd Brown, tbrown@renterswarehouse.com. I would love to have a conversation with you, see what area you're working in. We have agents that work in virtually every crook and cranny of all these metropolitan areas. And hopefully we can service your area. If we can't, we'll figure out a way to possibly do it or see how we can do to help you and going forward. So we look forward to speaking with you. You know, I said a lot of it. You know, some people may watch this podcast and say, he didn't say one single bad thing about Texas. You know, and granted, there's a lot of good. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to see where we are as a company going here this next year. And I would encourage you to reach out to me again, tbrown@renterswarehouse.com. And I'll put you, if I can help you, I'll find someone that can. It may even be Kevin. So,
well, that's great. Well, we appreciate you coming on. You know, everybody listening, you can tell, if you've heard the podcast before, you know, we're big believers in single family rental homes. Of course, that's what we do all day long. We work with investors of all sizes, helping create those strategies. And it can be done on your own. But I think one of the most important parts of developing a long-term plan, and the plan that Todd's talking about, is building the right team, having the right advisors around you. And that's your real estate agent, your property manager, which can be one of the same, you know, a great lender, which we can connect you with. Accounting team, legal team, all those types of things to create a good long-term strategy, long-term plan. We'd be honored and thrilled to be a part of your team. If you are listening and you're interested in investing in Texas or any of the other markets, and certainly other markets that we're highlighting in our Corner to Corner series, so please reach out and visit our website at renterswarehouse.com to learn more. You can pick up our book, Rent to State Revolution, which gives all sorts of tips and tricks and on real estate investing and of course, paints the picture of how to build this plan and the value of building this plan over the long term. So, Todd, thanks for coming on with us today and talking about Texas and all the wonderful things that Texas has to offer. And look forward to seeing you again soon.
Kevin, take care.
All right, thanks.
You've been listening to the Rent to State podcast with your host, Kevin Ortner. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to rentestate.com for a free rental property analysis and learn how you can list, invest, and rent all under one roof.